¡Órale! Bienvenidos and welcome to the Election Day edition of the Familia FFP podcast. I'm Jorge Giorgi Martin, flying solo today because we're doing a waiver wire show. Gracias everybody for joining us. Como siempre es un placer y estamos aquí a sus órdenes. Make sure you're checking out our familiaffp.com content, which will include an article accompanying this podcast episode, as well as our social media channels, Twitter at familiaffp and our Familia FFB Facebook page. Well, Monday Night Football recap, Bucks 25, Giants 23. You know, anybody expecting to see a blowout and a coronation for the Bucks as a Super Bowl contender, they got quite the surprise. The Jets, they're not a Super Bowl contender. They're not even a playoff contender, and they're probably a while away from contending. But, you know, they play hard on defense, and that seems to be helping them stay in games. I mean, I've noticed that a few of the games that I've seen them, that they just they're probably playing just well enough not to win. The Bucks did not have their best day on offense, so they probably had to do something to do with it. Tom Brady was pedestrian, 28 of 40 for 279 yards, 2 touchdowns. He kind of fought through some pressure throughout the game. He got TDs to Mike Evans on a diving grab and a Rob Gronkowski on a tipped pass. So Gronk, soy fiesta. It's the revival continues, big guy. Evans, he still doesn't look like he's running completely free of those ankle injuries. So, hope that he keeps improving and playing better. He finished 5 of 7 targets, catching 5 of 7 targets for 55 yards and a touchdown. Gronk looks much better than he did earlier this year, and including the touchdown, he had 4 catches for 41 yards. The interesting thing is 8 different players caught passes in this game for the Bucks, and it'll be telling to see if this gets more funneled when Chris Godwin and Antonio Brown are worked into the lineup, which Brown is likely to be back next week. Chris Godwin, possibility. The Buccaneer running back situation is still pretty much clear as mud. I mean, Leonard Floyd appeared to be the lead caballo, running 15 times for 52 yards, while Ronald Jones got just 7 carries for 23 yards. Jones disappeared from the game for a while after he was credited with a kind of a questionable fumble on a pass that really looked like a drop. He got 4 receptions and Fournette got 3. As far as the snap count comparison went, Fournette logged 51 and Jones got 17. So who does it look like as the lead caballo? So if there's a back to look like the starter for the near future, it's Fournette. Daniel Jones just didn't look all that comfortable last night. Part of it was the Bucs D. I mean, that's a great pass rush and a great secondary. And I mean, the pass rush was just in his grill all game. Danny Dimes, he was 25 of 41 for 256 yards, 2 touchdowns, 2 picks, and he was sacked 3 times. So just a tough game. I mean, it just looks like the offensive line needs to do a better job of protecting him. I mean, he's just, he just doesn't have the time. He did miss on some throws, especially on some passes to Darius Slayton and Sterling Shepard. Shepard, he's looking like the main target. You know, he got 10 targets, caught 8 of them for 74 yards. Just missed a touchdown. And Evan Ingram had one of his better games, catching 5 of 10 targets for 61 yards. The TDs went to Deion Lewis on a great diving grab, and Golden Tate caught his with 3 minutes remaining, which got them to 2 points. But the 2-point conversion pass was at first ruled a pass interference, but the refs picked up the flag and said there was no penalty. I mean, just in looking at it again, it looked like the defender wasn't playing the ball, which to me says PI, but, you know, I was watching at home, not with the refs. In the rushing game, the Giants were led by Wayne Gallman, who rushed 12 times for 44 yards and a TD. So, again, he has good effort when he's running. We'll see if he gets to keep the lead running back position after Devonta Freeman, which there's no guarantee when he's going to be coming back. Gallman also caught a pass for 18 yards. Still, tough loss for the Giants, but, you know, really something to build upon, even though they only have 1 win on the season. Also, it was a home underdog that covered, so, and I was 2-0 on those predictions this week. So, hey, all right. All right, let's get into some chisme, which, injuries. I don't think there's anyone that's worse news than George Kittle having suffering a broken foot. He came down awkwardly on the artificial turf in Seattle, and he's expected to be out 8 weeks going on IR. So we'll have a replacement recommendation in the waiver wire segment. Jimmy G. High ankle sprain, his second high ankle sprain this season. So maybe he wasn't all the way back after the last one. Looks like he's going to be going on IR. Nick Mullins played well late in the game. So vamos a ver. It's going to be, you know, it could be the Mullins show. I mean, it's just the 49ers, it's, listen, you guys all know I have a history as a LA sports fan, so I don't love San Francisco. I also don't love to see teams get injured like this. I mean, that's just flat out blows. So mala suerte. Heal up, Jimmy G. Cowboys placed quarterback Andy Dalton on IR, on reserved COVID-19 list. So it looks like he's going to be missing at least this next game. So the hits just keep on coming for the Cowboys. So it looks like it's going to be another week with Ben DiNucci. So again, and who's coming up? The Steelers. That's just too bad that the Steelers defense isn't on waivers. But you know, vamos a ver, it's going to be a tough one. Going to be a tough one for the Cowboys. Packers are just getting hit a little bit more. They got AJ Dillon, who went on the COVID-19 list, and because Jamal Williams that was a close contact, he was placed on the COVID-19 list as because of the contact tracing. And so they're both of those players are likely to be out this week, and it's looking like Aaron Jones, who's missed two games with a calf injury, is also going to be joining them for the Thursday night contest at the 49ers. So we'll have a little bit of a recommendation as to someone to pick up a little bit later in this episode. Sunday, you know, we put Jonathan Taylor in the Adios Mio section, and it came out that he's been battling a little bit of an ankle injury that came up during the game. So, maybe that's something that really slowed him down in the game, and which was the reason why he only got 26 snaps as opposed to Jordan Wilkins, who had 39. So something to keep an eye on. Jonathan Taylor has not been ruled out for the game. So, we'll see if there's, more news on this one. So we'll keep you updated. Over in Denver, Broncos GM, and John Elway and CEO Joe Ellis both tested positive for COVID-19. It's come out that they were not in contact with any of the players. So, all of the player tests on Tuesday came up negative. So, right now their game this Sunday is not in any kind of jeopardy. One player who's actually going to be out this, another player who's going to be out this week, Kenny Golladay. Kenny G, not going to be making smooth music. He's already been ruled out for the Week 9 game against the Vikings, which is tough because, gosh, I mean, against that secondary, Kenny G was going to be lighting it up. So, eso duele. Over in Baltimore, the Ravens reported no new COVID-19 positive tests. They do have 7 players that they're doing contact tracing on and keeping an eye on them. This is all after quarterback Marlon Humphrey tested positive for COVID on Sunday. So even though we got the result on Monday. So it's something to keep an eye. This whole Baltimore situation is going to be something to keep an eye on. Because the fact that Humphrey is we tested positive, the test was a Sunday test where we found out the Monday result. We're going to keep an eye on the Steelers. They reported no positive tests on Monday, so that's good news. Happy news. So let's hope it stays that way. So far, no games have been lost. Some have been moved, but no games have been lost. So hopefully, let's stay that way. La veladora, familia. Cardinals head coach said that Kenyon Drake, you know, his ankle injury may not be as bad as first believed. So, you know, it doesn't look like he's going on IR after all. They're looking at they're hopefully going to get him back on week 10. But as of right now, it definitely looks like Chase Edmonds is going to be the starter for week 9. So keep an eye on that. Going to need both of those guys on your roster, really. Last bit of chisme, we got confirmation that 6th-round rookie Jake Luton is expected to be the starting quarterback. This is coming from Adam Schefter. He's going to be starting in place of Gardner Minshew, who has those fractures in his thumb and has already been ruled out for week 9. So it's a game against the Texans. Luton played at Oregon State last year. So, you know, definitely, I mean, obviously a 6th-round QB coming from the Pac-12 is something that's familiar for the Jaguars. So we'll see if he has similar success as Gardner Minshew had last year. But you know, he threw over 21 passes last year, and he had three interceptions. So you know, I don't know if anybody's picking him up on anything other than a 2 QB or super flex league. So we'll see. All right, let's get into the waiver wire. So start off with the quarterbacks and streamer of the week, Derek Carr, playing at the Chargers on Sunday. He's owned 42% of leagues. You know, forget about the last game. You know, that game in Cleveland, the sleet and rain and snow were coming down just sideways. There was just no way to be throwing on that day. You got Carr throwing for at least 300 yards and two or more TDs in each of the three previous games. So, you know, the Chargers did get that rip your heart out, you know, walk off loss to the Broncos on a last minute TD, and they also had former All Pro cornerback Desmond King get traded away. So he was already starting on a defense that was number 30 against the quarterback. So Derek Carr could be a game for him. Definitely a shootout possibility. We'll talk about this one later. Kirk Cousins coming up against Detroit. Again, another one. He didn't throw a lot, and that was a lot of weather related because of what was going on in Denver. Let's look back at last year in Motown when Kirk Cousins, he completed 24 of 34 passes for 338 yards and 4 TDs. So Detroit, not good against the pass. Number 21 against fantasy QBs. So, you know, and again, the Lions have been amping up their passing game behind Matthew Stafford. So this is going to be a game that's got shootout potential. Back to Denver, Drew Lock going to be at Atlanta this week, and you know we. Yeah, you know, this is a possibility. Drew Lock, I mean, he didn't look perfect. Definitely had some throws that should not have been made last week. But this is definitely a matchup that you got to love. The receivers are playing well. Jerry Jeudy's playing well. If they get Tim Patrick back, that's another receiver who's going to be making some noise. Noah Fant has been playing well, and Atlanta has just been getting torched by defenses. They're giving up the second most passing yards this season. So, you know. And this is going to be a shootout in Atlanta because the Broncos themselves are number 23 against the fantasy QBs. So it's going to be a lot of points scored in the fast track on this one. So let's go over to the running backs. And, you know, we talked about it. It's next man up in the NFL. And when it comes to the Green Bay Packers, the next man up, if Jamal Williams for sure can't go, it looks likely to be Phillip Irvin. It's, you know, he's had 4 rushes for 43 yards thus far this season. He's caught 6 passes for 33 yards. So, I mean, it's not like he's missed the field completely, but, you know, if he is the guy, the Packers do try to run the ball to set up the pass. So, Irvin should have some opportunities, though they could be kind of tough because the 49ers are number 2 against fantasy points allowed to running backs. So it could be rough sledding, and the game will be in San Francisco. So you know, but this is a starting running back in a week that they're just not plentiful. Over in New England, Damian Harris, owning 47% of leagues. You know, he's coming off a game where he had 16 carries for 102 yards and a touchdown. So, again, he's been the lead ball carrier. This is the Patriots. They're never going to be particularly good against funneling it to one running back. So, no lead caballos, but hey, if you get 16 carries, we'll take our chances against the Jets defense that is number 24 in having allowed 785 yards rushing. So we'll see. On the opposite end of that Green Bay game, after we've talked about Philip Irvin, Jamichael Hasty, he's owning 42% of leagues. You know, he's kind of a high energy runner. He didn't play all that great. You know, he ran ball 12 times for 29 yards and a touchdown, but. Again, this is going to be opportunity. Tevin Coleman, Raheem Mostert, Jeff Wilson, all on IR. And let's look at what Dalvin Cook did to the Packers last week. You're not expecting that, but the Packers are just giving up, yards and points to fantasy running backs left and right. So, give us some Jamichael Hasty as an opportunity play. Over LaMichael Perrine, he's owning 41% of leagues. His number keeps going up. I mean, he's still sharing the ball with Frank Gore, so they've got similar they had similar touches. But you got to figure that the Jets are going to want to find out what they have in Perrine. And the Patriots have been giving up yards. I mean, they've given 846 yards already on the ground through 8 games. So. Definitely someone to grab as a possibility of getting a home run ball, or maybe in DFS getting someone cheap. I know. You don't want to bet on the Jets either. I don't either, but just throwing it out there for you, Familia, in case you're desperate. Cam Akers, he's going into his bye week, but remember Daryl Henderson sat out part of that game with a thigh injury, so obviously he's got the bye week to get better, but. In case he's not, which thigh injuries, hamstrings, they could linger. Cam Akers could be a guy who gets to play, and he did make he did have that one play against the Dolphins where he made three different Dolphins miss tackles. So, you want Akers to be on your team if he coming out of the bye if he's got that opportunity. Again, we've seen the rookie running backs excel coming out of the bye this year with DeAndre Swift and J.K. Dobbins this past weekend. Speaking of Baltimore, Gus Edwards at Indianapolis, 31%. He pretty much split the carries with J.K. Dobbins last week, and they both had good games. They both combined for exactly 200 yards against the Steeler defense. So the Colts, even though there's some people who are kind of questioning their opponents so far, they're still third in fantasy points per game to the running back at 14.3. So. This could be a tough game, but Gus Edwards is that north-south runner who might be able to get some yardage and help you out on a bye week. DJ Dallas, let's keep looking at him. The in Seattle, there's you got 58 total yards last week and 2 touchdowns, one passing, one receiving, one rushing. We still don't know the availability of Carlos Hyde and Chris Carson, so this is a play where you just want to have the guy just in case, because the Bills are number 28 in rushing yards allowed with 861, just not the defense that we expected this year, coming off of how good they were last year. Let's go over to the receivers and the tight ends. Marvin Jones. Going to Minnesota this week at four, he's owned 49% of the leagues. I mean, he caught, people were so quick to bury him, and then, he caught 80 yards, caught passes for 80 yards in week 7, and then caught a pair of TDs this past weekend. He'll be facing that generous Minnesota defense that's number 31 in fantasy points per game, and Kenny G has already been ruled out. Marvin Jones is probably the number one target for this week. I know TJ Hawkinson could get some, but again, it's that Minnesota secondary. They're not good. Another Marvin to keep an eye on is Hall, who went over 100 yards last week and may be a play for bye weeks, or maybe even a cheap DFS start throw. Corey Davis, you know, he's still only owning 48% of leagues. You know, he's got 20 total targets in the last two games, and he's turned in 14 catches for 163 yards and a pair of touchdowns. I mean, that's with a healthy AJ Brown. So he is going to be playing plenty. He's just kind of turning into this year's Devontae Parker. So, but one thing, buyer beware, that Chicago secondary is very good. So they're number three against wide receivers and fantasy points per game. So maybe he's a stash for another week. If you don't have, or, you know, if you have to play him, you have to play him. Go get him. You know, we talked about Derek Carr being the streamer of the week. Henry Ruggs, owning 48% of leagues. Go get him. Go get him. You know, throw out the last two games. You know, don't look at those numbers. You know, you had one of them, he had the Tampa Bay secondary that may be the best in the game. And we've already talked about the weather in the Cleveland game that just, you know, made the passing game just not happening. You know, Carr's taking more deep shots. Ruggs is his main weapon. Another player to keep an eye on is Nelson Aguilar. But, you know, this is a week where Ruggs could haul in a bomb or two and, you know, make your fantasy man, make your day as a fantasy manager. Jalen Reagor, he's on a bye. But, hey, he's finally healthy. He played this week. Not that great. He got 16 yards. But again, you know, this is a player who had the high draft capital. He was picked in the first round. There is not a lot of competition there. It's really Travis Fulgham and Dallas Goedert for targets. You want to grab this guy coming off the bye and see if he actually does anything. You know, if he continues to build on what he was doing before he got hurt, and maybe he's the next rookie receiver to make a difference in the second half. Over to the tight ends, Eric Ebron, this is all you need to do. He's playing Dallas. He's been getting more and more targeted. You know, he has at least five targets in all but two games this season. So, you know, and again, Dallas. Not more needs to be said. Over in San Francisco, Jordan Reed, he was back on October 28th. He was designated to return from IR. So there is a chance he gets to play this week against the Packers. And, you know, if you lost George Kittle, this could be a little stopgap while you try and work a trade or just play, you know, the streaming roulette with tight ends for the season. And last one, Trey Burton. What's this guy doing getting multiple jet sweeps, touchdowns the past 2 weeks? But hey, it's working. You know, he's owned in 22% of leagues. You know, the Ravens are 21st in fantasy points per game allowed to the tight end. So, I mean, hey, this is a dart throw that you may want to keep an eye on. Bueno, everybody, eso es todo for our show. Thanks again to Anchor for making our independent podcast available to the Familia community. Please subscribe and leave us a review at Apple, Google, Spotify, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcasts. Remember, follow us on Twitter at Familia FFB, as well as me. I'm at Jorge Martin 17, as well as our Familia FFB Facebook page. And don't forget, FamiliaFFB.com. Our waiver wire column is going to be out there today. Gracias, everybody, for joining us. Hope you have a wonderful election day. And remember, como siempre, todos somos familia.